This lecture is called Your Prabhupada. So, first I'll define this concept. Gurukul ki jai. When I was discussing Swamiji, as we called Prabhupada, in 1966, telling memories of that time, I was telling you my Prabhupada, not just speaking historically or objectively, but Prabhupada as I knew him, or from my point of view. So today I'm speaking about your Prabhupada. And what do I mean by that? I mean that each individual has a unique relationship with Prabhupada. And so I want to encourage you to develop your relationship. It's not that any one disciple or follower of him, of his, knows everything about him. Everyone has an angle or a partial viewpoint. And that's their Prabhupada. This is certainly true with Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his pure devotees. Can anyone think of an example in Krishna Leela that illustrates how the devotees have different relationships with Krishna?
Right.
The wrestlers saw Krishna as death personified. The parents of Vrindavan saw him as their dear boy. The gopis as the most attractive young man. And so on. So Krishna reciprocated. Another example of this is the prayers. There are prayers by Prahlad Maharaj in which he is saying, "Oh my Lord," he's talking to Krishna. And this particular expression gave rise to some question and answer between Prabhupada and a disciple. I'll tell what that was, but first ask anyone here to answer the question. Someone may say, how can Prahlad say to God, "My Lord," in that possessive sense? I don't understand how he can. He may say, oh, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of all the worlds, like Arjuna does in Bhagavad Gita. But how can he say, "My Lord"? Can you give an understanding of that? Jamastami?
Perhaps when it's because that when one develops prema, he brings the Lord under his control.
Yes.
I see that the other people that were trying to pacify Lord Dakshini weren't able to do that. But when Vlad came, because he was such an intimate associate, then immediately Lord Dakshini.
So he's given a good answer based on very highest levels of love of God. One can think like that. The earlier stage is that you think, "I am yours," we say to Krishna. But in the very high stages, such as Srimati Radharani, she sometimes thinks, "You are mine." Now I'll explain how this question and answer went with Prabhupada. The devotee asked this question. It's a lady disciple. Happened to be married disciple. So Prabhupada replied that Krishna is the Lord of everyone, and yet each person can say, "My Lord." And it doesn't mean that Krishna becomes monopolized by that person. He's still, someone else can say, "My Lord." Then he said to this girl, "However, when you say, 'My husband,' then that closes out the possibility of someone else saying that. in our limited individuality. He's not someone else's husband, if he's your husband. But Krishna is so inconceivable that he's my Lord, and he's your, you can say that too. Therefore, this concept, my Prabhupada, the whole purpose of this seminar has been on the life of Prabhupada, is to remind us of our individual relationship with him, and to inspire us to seek it out and to develop it. Now, another, a question may be raised here, though. Isn't there a common understanding of Prabhupada, a consensus of his identity? And if so, does that really leave room for such a subjective idea as my Prabhupada? To answer, yes, there's certainly an authorized version of Srila Prabhupada that the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement agree on many particulars. For example, that he's the founder of Charya, of ISKCON, and the place of his books, and the recognition of his stature and his empowered state, and so on. So many things. In fact, if one doesn't line up with them, then his understanding of Prabhupada seems to be defective if it's not according to the Siddhanta. Granted that this is true, but this doesn't rule out what I've been saying. It still allows that each person has an individual relationship with him. And we should not only find our own, but we should encourage each other to develop their relationship with Prabhupada. That's personalism. So I want to describe some ways that we can develop our relationship with Prabhupada. But I'm going to start by giving some insufficient concepts. By that I mean things that are not necessarily wrong, but if your relationship is made up only of this, it's not enough. I'll give some examples. The first one is actually not only insufficient, but wrong. And that is what we call the illusory Prabhupada. I first heard this expression from a god brother. He was telling me how he was serving Prabhupada in a remote part of the world, but he wasn't getting association of devotees. He was getting some bad association. And gradually he began to drop some of Prabhupada's instructions. He stopped having a morning program, and they decided in their center that they wouldn't worship deities, and started deviating in different ways. But in his mind, he was rationalizing that it's all right, I can do this, I'm still following Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada personally visited that place. So the devotee said, the first moment that he met Prabhupada, he realized that he had an illusory or imaginary Prabhupada that he had been following, and that illusory Prabhupada just like was smashed and disappeared in the presence of the real Prabhupada. We think of the phrase illusory, there's illusory Vasudev, Krishna, that the demons sometimes created. He said, he said to Krishna, here's your father, Vasudev, I'm going to kill him. And sometimes they would do that with, say, here's Krishna, I'm going to kill him. Or here's Rama, they came to Sita, I'm going to kill Rama, illusory. So we don't want to be following some concocted idea of Prabhupada. There's also a concept of an illusory disciple. I experienced this when during Prabhupada's time. I would be serving in separation from him and thinking that I'm doing very nicely in all respects. I'm a very good devotee. And then again, he would come, and would, just by seeing him, I would realize I'm not a good devotee. I'm so unsurrendered and so incomplete. And that illusion that I had of myself disappeared. This may be a little vague. To sort of make it clear, I'll ask, does anyone here like to give any personal example of an illusory Prabhupada that they dealt with at any time, and I hope rectify. You're all such good devotees. Yeah. So often there, when the bubble is popped, it becomes a realization that you see the spiritual form of the spiritual master, or you see things deeper. Exposal does that. So in order to avoid illusory Prabhupada, we need to regularly go to sources where we can contact genuine Prabhupada, such as his books, and his books in association with his devotees. Then we won't imagine a Prabhupada who says you don't have to chant 16 rounds or you don't have to follow 4 rules. Sometimes these things come up. They say Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, but he didn't really. Another insufficient concept is, and this is one that's not wrong, but insufficient if this is all you have. If you see the Prabhupada as the institution ISKCON. So there are statements by Prabhupada to indicate he identifies himself with ISKCON. He has said, ISKCON is my body. But, and what is ISKCON? ISKCON is Prabhupada's energy. But Prabhupada, the person, he's not only an institution. The example is given by Lord Krishna about himself in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he describes his yoga aishvarya, his inconceivable energy. He says, everything in the universe is my energy, not different than me. But I am not there at the same time. I have a separate identity as a person, Bhagavan, than my energy. If we think of Prabhupada only as institution, that's impersonalism. Yes?
What about dreams? Imagination?
Well, that's a topic. Prabhupada said if you dream of the spiritual master, it's not an ordinary thing. But certainly that's insufficient if that's all you have, or if you go too much on just a dream. The dream has to be backed up by guru, shastra, and sadhu. And even the dream, it should be correspond with Prabhupada as we know him. We shouldn't go out on a limb just by some dream, but have it. That's insufficient praman or evidence. Especially we, who 90% of the time have so many nonsense dreams, where it's merciful if we have a dream of Prabhupada. But we read of the devotees in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not like they were in the mode of ignorance and they had a dream, but they have a vision, or sometimes it's even expressed on the pretext of a dream, Krishna appeared to him and said, do this, go to Vrindavan. Now, similar to the institution as Prabhupada, a similar insufficient relationship is to think that Srila Prabhupada is the GBC. The GBC, Prabhupada declared in his will, is the highest managerial authority in ISKCON. And we all live by the laws, the resolutions of the GBC. But it would be Mayavad philosophy to say that Prabhupada's identity is lost or merged into a body of governing secretaries. He has his own identity, and he can express himself, if need be, differently than his governing body. And each devotee in the movement, while in obedience to Prabhupada, follows the GBC, still has a separate relationship with his divine grace. And that's what we're trying to develop. Another example, an insufficient example, is to think of Prabhupada as a figurehead. The definition of a figurehead is a person who has who is a nominal head or a nominal position of leadership, but no real authority. Can anyone think of worldly examples of figurehead so we make it clear? Kalipani?
The queen.
You're Englishmen and you say the queen is only a figure. Yes, the queen of England. So, Prabhupada is more than that. He's the vital leader of this movement. But this, we could fall into this, in thinking that we were showing respect, but not going further than that. I sometimes think of the children who are growing up in ISKCON, and how it may be that, at least in the beginning, they don't develop past this. Because I remember, as a child, going to public school, and we'd see the picture of George Washington, first president of the United States, picture of him crossing the Delaware or some other picture. And in Catholic schools, they have they may have a patron saint or something in statues. But for the actual students or children, they don't even relate to it at all. It's just the statue or the figurehead and so on. Speeches may be made, statues shown, slogans repeated. But until the person who we say is our leader enters our heart and we surrender to him in a personal way, then we remain with the figurehead idea. Well, I think that's enough for the negative or the insufficient relationships. Now I want to discuss some of the sufficient ones. I already mentioned Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada is the author of his books. He has said, if you want to know me, read my books. When we read very submissively, then we are with Prabhupada in a personal darshan. He composed the books not in a hasty way, but in a very solitary way, talking to Krishna on the dictaphone, talking to the readers. And you can be as good as present during those middle of the night dictations when you read. And you can get close to Prabhupada in that way. Now, however, although the books are important for everyone, it's a fact that some devotees, they come close to Prabhupada by reading, and it's a very important part of their relationship. And for others, maybe not as much, because it's such an individual thing. Our relationship with Prabhupada is made up of a combination of his qualities, but the exact mixture and emphasis will differ with individuals. My Prabhupada has a certain emphasis on some of his qualities, which is different from other devotees. Some devotee, he may really very much like to see Prabhupada as the general of the army, the Sankirtan army. And someone else acknowledges that he's a general, but gets closer to him, say, as the author of transcendental knowledge, or as the pure devotee of Krishna in other ways. So it can't be dictated that one person's understanding has to be totally accepted by everyone else's. Rather, we should respect the realizations that people have and do our first business, which is to surrender our person to him. Another consideration in coming to know your Prabhupada applies to many devotees now, and that is that Prabhupada is the Param Guru. Therefore, this means the nature of our relationship with him is flavored by the fact that we understand him through our Diksha and Shiksha Gurus. In other words, we approach Prabhupada through our spiritual master. I would like to ask someone to explain in their own words how they approach Prabhupada through their spiritual master. What is their understanding of this? Does anyone just say how you understand it? How it works? Yes?
I think that spiritual masters, initiating spiritual masters' service of perfection is to guide us to Srila Prabhupada.
That's so nice. That the spiritual masters in ISKCON, he's saying their perfection is that they do this. They guide us to Prabhupada. It's one of the important qualities we look for in a spiritual master. Is he representing Prabhupada very well? He may do other things well, but he doesn't represent Prabhupada, then this is a disqualification. This is a nice realization. Yes?
By looking at two qualities of Srila Prabhupada through spiritual master,
you see some of the qualities. Yeah. Prabhupada even said about himself, he said that, Prabhupada was in a certain thoughtful pose sitting at his desk, and a devotee said, "You look just like your Guru Maharaj in that photo of him where he's riding on Back to Godhead." And Prabhupada said, "When you see him, that he's the gold, I am just the glitter of that gold." So that certainly applies in this case. Yes?
By being accepted by someone who is accepted by Srila Prabhupada, one feels accepted by Prabhupada.
By being accepted?
By someone who is accepted by Prabhupada. One feels accepted by Prabhupada.
So we're on this point of developing our relationship with Prabhupada, and now we've touched on the area that you do so through your spiritual master, if he's your Param Guru. And there are many more, everyone could state their realization of this, and as we say, you can't jump over your spiritual master to approach Prabhupada, and as was nicely said, the qualification of the Guru is that he does represent Prabhupada. And I made the point that our relationship with Prabhupada will be flavored by, or influenced by, the fact that it's coming through a particular guru in parampara. So, acknowledging all these things and welcoming them even, still, we each can approach Prabhupada directly as seeing him as the Shiksha Guru, or sometimes it's said Shastra Guru, or Founder Acharya. Previous acharya. Some of the ways we do this, especially in ISK, are especially pertinent to ISKCON. ISKCON is a particular branch of the Chaitanya tree, and it has some features that are not found anywhere else. And mostly it has to do with the emphasis on Prabhupada's position as a link in the disciplic succession. So some of the ways in ISKCON that we typically go directly to Prabhupada, all members, all Prabhupada Anugas, are when we listen to his tapes. And on this principle, by the way, Prabhupada himself said, when talking on Nectar of Devotion, that when we read Nectar of Devotion, we are directly worshipping Rupa Goswami, he said. So it's not only to Prabhupada, but that's the principle. But when applied to Prabhupada, we listen to his tapes, we worship his murti. We chant the samsara prayers. Now, It may be that a devotee, when he sings samsara, he thinks of his spiritual master. That's all right. But certainly it's not wrong, especially here in Vrindavan, when we go to the Samadhi Mandir, that everyone can come and see His Divine Grace and sing samsara before Him. And we hope our minds are not going to other things, but we're trying to bring them to the words of that prayer in connection with Prabhupada. And then Guru Pooj, the Prabhupada Guru Pooj everywhere in ISKCON, everyone is invited to go and offer flower to Him, and so on. Any other ways that we have relationship with Prabhupada, even if not His direct disciples? Yes?
We're following His instructions.
Following His instructions. Yes?
Reading His books.
Right. Is there any, does anyone disagree with that, with the way I presented it, or have a doubt about it? Saying that we can go direct? Yes?
This is about the samsara prayers, except for here. As far as I understand, if you're chanting samsara prayers in the morning, and you're not Prabhupada's disciple, and you're thinking of Prabhupada, then you're skewing the...
If
you're chanting the samsara prayers in the morning...
And you're not Prabhupada's disciple...
Then, and you're thinking these prayers are meant for Prabhupada, then I think that would be a misunderstanding.
Uh-huh.
Obviously.
Right. That, in other words, I was making the point that they always can apply to Prabhupada, but you can't think of... So you're saying it would be like a kind of jumping over at that time if he's not thinking of his guru during the singing of samsara in the temple.
They can apply to Prabhupada, but it should be taken that this is a function. Every morning we get together, we chant the samsara prayers, which are the prayers to Prabhupada. And people may think like that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
What actually constitutes jumping over in this particular situation about that everyone has a direct access to?
Any kind of minimizing the link all the way to extreme as these deviant philosophies that came out of the Vedic Village Review, that there's no more initiating spiritual masters after Prabhupada, only Prabhupada. So they want to just go to Prabhupada, jumping over the disciplic succession. Not taking seriously the orders that your spiritual master gives you, and saying, "Well, I'll just go to Prabhupada's. I have Prabhupada's books and letters. I know what I want. I know what I have to do." And how you, if you surrender to a guru, if you accept a guru, then you have to take him seriously, and that will include certainly his teaching of Prabhupada's instructions. So if you minimize him and his instructions in the name of what going to your relationship with Prabhupada, that would be a kind of jumping over. Then the good spiritual relationship is that the guru is a via media to Prabhupada, and he's not trying to get in the way of Prabhupada, but facilitating your worship. When Bali Maharaj's guru misrepresented Vishnu, then Bali Maharaj said, "You're not a guru, because you should represent." So if the guru doesn't represent, then it can be a question, but if he's representing, you have to accept through him. More comment about what constitutes jumping over? Okay. You mentioned we can serve Prabhupada through service or instruction, so I wanted to use the word service. It's a very important way. And again, as far as the guru, Prabhupada being Param Guru, all Diksha and Shiksha gurus after Prabhupada, they should be, if they're in good standing, they are warmly encouraging you to develop this relationship, serve Prabhupada, and this is where the mercy is coming from. how you can attain the mercy of Radha and Krishna. So the service may be given to us by different persons, but I think this course we're talking about, how to write in this class, is called Your Prabhupada. So you should be developing a relationship with Prabhupada, and one way to do it is through your service. Service is so important. It's like our work, our occupation. It's the thing we do more than anything else we do. We make some prayers in the morning, we chant japa, but the thing we do most is our service. So a service that is blessed and authorized by Prabhupada will make us feel close to him. We were discussing about book distributors, how they feel his energy and his presence when they distribute his books. And this can be done in any service that is pleasing to Prabhupada. So we should try to have a Prabhupada project, or work within a Prabhupada project. Just for example, let there be a temple. We discussed how dear Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Bombay were to Prabhupada. So if you're working in those projects, you can feel the connection. Or Prabhupada wanted simple living and high thinking. He wanted people to stay on farms and develop them. If you do it, and you do it his way, you can feel close to him through service. And this is nothing new that I'm saying, but I'm reminding us that if you're seeking this, this is a deep way that you'll find this connection. And then also, we mentioned earlier, several times people asked him, how can we please you best? And he said, chant Hare Krishna, or develop love for Krishna. If we want to personalize all our service, we should think like that, that this will please him. And it won't shame him. I don't want to shame him that Mlecha, an ex-Mlecha, took to Krishna consciousness and then misbehaved. But I want to do service and please him. Therefore, be part of a Prabhupada project. And I was also thinking of it in another sense, that within your service, if you can have some, if you can always, or at least from time to time, be doing something in a Prabhupada project. I remember when I was doing the biography of Prabhupada, you feel such a protection that you're doing direct service to him, to glorify him. So I try to come up with some other direct Prabhupada project. Although everything is generally within his service, the more we can get, the better. Yes?
Sometimes we're engaged in service of karma being authorized. Those times have changed, and that service actually has to be modified a little bit more, not karma specifically wanted. Mm-hmm. In the rules, maybe subject to government inspection, so then you have to do things differently from the way karma specifically instructed in Dallas.
Can we have that consciousness if what?
If we are aware that we have to modify things.
Well, it's a delicate area, and there'll be differences of opinion. Even with the Gurukul, there are different opinions. Some will say still that no, we should do it exactly the way Prabhupada said it in Dallas. And many will say that it has to be modified. But if it's modified, then I would say sometimes it has to be modified according to changes that come up. And that if Prabhupada were present, he would have modified it, as he modified things, changed things according to differences. Even Gurukul, he said that everything can be centralized in Dallas. And then during his lifetime, there's so much botheration about it from the government and other reasons. He said, no, now we shall have a Gurukul in Vrindavan. So he changed. But you have to be confident that, and you have to pray and keep trying to focus on whether it is actually following the spirit of Prabhupada's desires and instructions, even if some things have had to be changed. You have to know the difference between what is permanent in his instruction and what is impermanent. Some devotees have trouble even facing the concept that Prabhupada said some things that aren't permanent, but he did. He used to write me letters that you should remain, dedicate yourself to be the temple president of Boston. And I can study those letters now and think, oh, I'm doing something wrong, I should go back, be the temple president of Boston. But no, then he, fortunately, something like that, he later told you to do something else. But that would be an obvious example of something. But still, there's a spirit there that do what I told you to do. Stay in that place. Be dedicated. Do your service. It happened to be at that time temple president of Boston. But follow that same spirit and you'll be happy and successful. So there are things that he said that can be modified. But who modifies it and how is a soul-searching thing. Any other questions or doubts or comments about my Prabhupada or your Prabhupada? Yes, go.
My servant Prabhupada is instructing by reading the book. It sometimes may seem coincide with it. But so how can you recognize the dispensation from Prabhupada?
How can you recognize reciprocation with Prabhupada? So there are good symptoms that this is not a gross thing. So they're subtle or they're spiritual, as in our relationship with Krishna. We'll feel that the things that Prabhupada promised to a devotee are coming true for us. He would say, if you follow my instructions, you won't have anxiety, you'll overcome sinful activities. So if by following his teachings, joining his movement, you start to feel the things that he said, and even to the degree that you could with conviction tell others, then you're feeling reciprocation. Right? Basic ways. And then through his representative, as devotee said, if you're accepted by someone who is a representative of Prabhupada, that may be that Prabhupada is accepting you. But you can directly experience it with your senses and with your mind, with yourself as spirit soul. That you become strong and convinced to preach the philosophy. Sometimes, especially when we meet opponents of this philosophy, and we find to our surprise almost that we have conviction and we have knowledge and we can defeat their arguments. And then during the course of that, you feel a real allegiance to Prabhupada and inspiration that Prabhupada was with me while I was talking and I said those things with conviction and strength. I really felt Prabhupada was present. And he is. He said that devotee asked Prabhupada, can you reciprocate with us? He said, yes, through my books. And they said, not only through your books, but like this, the Lord is in our heart as a person, super soul, he can reciprocate with us, he can talk with a devotee. Can the spiritual master be like that? Prabhupada said, yes, it depends on your purity. So the reciprocation can go on and on, as Giriraj Maharaj was discussing from the concluding words of Chaitanya Charitamrita. How Prabhupada felt with his Guru Maharaj, that he's always there. Yes?
Also, so then when you look to praise Krishna and touch Krishna, you feel the reciprocation of Krishna, not in his time, but you see how his life is changing Krishna, how Krishna manipulates his life and guides him in different ways through different symptoms and circumstances. In the same way, when you praise Krishna Prabhupada, you feel the reciprocation.
You feel his guidance in your life. Yes?
Is there the danger in the course of preaching a disciple? He's praising Srila Prabhupada and he's not praising his guru. Or he's doing vice versa. He's praising his guru and he's not praising Srila Prabhupada. Is facing the danger to commit offense against Prabhupada or the Guru.
Yeah. One of my god brothers said the other day, it's easy to practice devotional service, but hard to avoid offenses. So we can always be in danger of committing an offense. So we have to have balance and follow the conclusion, Siddhanta. Well, you've just indicated that some of the imbalances that but generally in preaching, we will, in ISKCON, we will preach about Prabhupada, especially in a public forum. We wouldn't preach about our Guru Maharaj because we want to give the people an opportunity to understand Krishna and Krishna consciousness, and then when they become serious, to choose a spiritual master. So that wouldn't be wrong. It's something that internally we're thinking, that who am I to speak about Prabhupada or to claim a connection? All I know is my spiritual master, what he's taught me about Prabhupada. But he'll be speaking mostly about Prabhupada and what he's written in his books. And your spiritual master will be pleased that you do that. So you shouldn't forget that. By the grace of your spiritual master, you are able to glorify Prabhupada. And that's your humility, and that's the nature of the link. So that imbalance must be there. Must be avoided. And your spiritual master, he will also be the first one to correct you if you're too much thinking, if you're minimizing Prabhupada in your enthusiasm for your guru, and saying, actually, Guru Maharaj, you're as great as Prabhupada. What you've done as great as he did, and so on and so forth, and he will correct you. Yes.
I was just thinking, like Srila Prabhupada said, that the more you become the servant of a servant, the more you become advanced. I think even for those of us who are Prabhupada's disciples, we feel like we don't really have it. You know, we don't really deserve, some of us feel like we don't really deserve to be close to him. But we can think that the devotees that are serving him so nicely are so dear to him, so if we serve them, that becomes very sweet.
By serving Prabhupada's devotees. These intricate matters about one spiritual master and Prabhupada's Param Guru, many of you have spiritual masters, so they can explain this to you. I don't think it's wrong that I explain it as part of the philosophy, but ultimately, for the fine-tuning or the understanding you want, you can ask your spiritual master. Yes?
Before you take initiation, you must first surrender to Srila Prabhupada as Jagat Guru and Chantas Pranam Mantra.
Yeah, the GBC has resolved like that.
As the spiritual master. Sometimes it may be longer than 6 months, maybe a year or 2 years. Have you seen Srila Prabhupada as your spiritual master and praying to Srila Prabhupada and is guiding you everywhere? And then when you take initiation, you may feel like you've lost something. You know, like you don't have that direct
relationship with Prabhupada. And then it's difficult to connect those things. Well, it shouldn't be that you're just serving Prabhupada, and then in some artificial way, all of a sudden you accept some spiritual master, and it doesn't have a place in your heart, and doesn't seem necessary, and so on. Then why? What is the need of a spiritual master? But you should take initiation when you feel all the symptoms of surrender to a spiritual master. So it should be a strengthening of the feelings that have been built up that you've had toward Prabhupada, and a real sense of connection. This is like, it could be made an analogy to one. We chant Hare Krishna, we have all access to chanting of Hare Krishna, but then why do we have to get initiated into Harinam? But Prabhupada said there's a great difference between being initiated and not. So to be actually linked to Prabhupada by initiation brings you into his family. I gave a class on this in Italy, and I gave an example from an outside. Just imagine a Christian who got attracted to a Christian order where there was a very dominant saint, like, say, St. Francis of Assisi. So he wanted to follow St. Francis of Assisi. So how do you do it? You join the Franciscan order. Still, your desire is to serve that image of that person. But then in that order, you serve particular persons, and probably you'll find someone who's spiritually advanced and say, wow, he's a real Franciscan, and I want to follow him. And he's just like a living example of St. Francis. And then St. Francis is like supposed to be an example of Christ. So it's similar like that. The vision of Prabhupada is enhanced by real down-earth examples of people who are following him. And then you join his order, ISKCON. Otherwise, how are you going to connect with the great saint? It's not done just by imagination. And this is because he said, I join this movement and serve me in this way. Yes?
I have an experience that sometimes in my spiritual life, Srila Prabhupada takes more active role. Like the first time it happened, when I joined, I surrendered to a spiritual master and was studying Prabhupada's book under his guidance. And then in 1982, he left. And then I felt like Srila Prabhupada through his books and for the art that I was looking at or videos, and was guiding me personally not to take exclusive shelter in him, but to continue following the process until I was able to again take shelter in someone else. And then at that time, my relationship with the other, with his successor, was more absorbing. And then again in 1986, the same thing happened. And then I was determined to take full shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes dreams are not very significant, but at the time, there was a dream which made me feel that I should take full shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And I did that for a few years and tried to be involved in projects that I knew he was, he liked, like Food for Life in Africa. And while I was doing this service, I felt some direct reciprocation from Srila Prabhupada, which meant that ultimately he showed me how to take shelter of another person. And at the time of that second initiation, it was confirmed by my special master that he himself was feeling that Srila Prabhupada was personally directing him to guide me in spiritual life. It's not just a one-way thing, but Srila Prabhupada directly intervened in cases of emergency. And then when the emergency is run, then the relationship with the present spiritual master takes more prominence. Which doesn't mean that the relationship should have probably fades away, but
that's a personal experience. That Prabhupada in an emergency can step in and take a dominant role. I guess we should sum up. I hope that you've all benefited from hearing about Prabhupada every day for a month. And I know I did. This is a Prabhupada project that I mentioned, something very much centered on him. It was very good for me. Some of you said that while these classes were going on, you were able to think of him more. And I hope that now that they're over, you'll be able to go on with that in one way or another, keeping the personal relationship with him. about this course, before we adjourn, I just wanted to make some acknowledgments about people who helped me with this course, because there was a lot of preparation and I didn't do it all myself. The course was suggested to me by Burijan Prabhu last year, so then I decided to do it. And one devotee, Nabhadweep Das, who hasn't been here for any of the classes, but he came today, he did a tremendous amount of work on preparing outlines for each lecture and raising questions and so on. And that was very essential for me to continue working with to prepare each lecture. So I'm very thankful to him. Although he's embarrassed, I'm glad he came in at the end so that I could. It would be really like cheating, not to mention all that he really put into this course. And Lalita Manjari typed the outlines. When I wrote my own outlines after Navadweep's work, and then when I had the pop ready to give, Madhu Mangal helped me polishing some of the classes. So these devotees, I just wanted to thank them. Any last questions? Yes.
I had a question. I read in the Prabhupada's book, the biography, they mentioned about the Prabhupada went to meet Indira Gandhi. This was like in August of 75. And there's some points he wrote on his notebook. The notebook was here in the museum. The date is like June 1976.
The date of the notebook. So that's the date that he wrote it down. It doesn't say the date of the meeting, does it? I mean, they could be different. Oh, right now that's a little too much for me. I don't know. I don't remember the date that he met her, so I can't. I can't give you an answer. I don't have a computer type brain. You're saying there's a. I'm sure we got the right date for when he met Indira Gandhi. If there's a different date in the notebook, you're saying it's a year earlier than he met her?
The notebook is 1976, and the Bhakti says it's 1975.
Oh, so maybe he wrote it after. maybe he was going to meet her again. I don't know. Yes.
Story about this man who met Prabhupada on the bench when he was still not manifest yet. I was wondering how were the devotees able to find that man?
He, like others, he came forward in Vancouver. He was discovered and then interviewed to find out whether he was just telling a story or what. And after sufficient interviewing, we decided to accept the simple essence of what of his saying in his meetings with Prabhupada. He came forward. He came to our temple, and although this had happened in New York, he was found in Vancouver. Yes. I feel like that too sometimes. It's not good in a sense. Use it as something to pull you forward. Therefore, I said we should have Prabhupada projects. You should think, oh, I don't think of Prabhupada. I don't feel any connection with him. Therefore, I should do something. I should. Am I reading his books? Am I serving in his mission nicely? And am I linked up with him properly? See what may be the possible reasons why you feel you have no relationship with Prabhupada, that he's just become a figurehead or whatever. So I would say it's not good, but it's good that you notice the emptiness and then do something to rectify it, and then he will appear again. All right, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.